Lutheran Public Radio is now a nonprofit organization. That means all past, present, and future gifts to LPR are tax deductible. Please consider making a gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate by check, make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio, and mail it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a tax-deductible gift online, issuesetc.org. Thanks for your support.
You commie, homo-loving sons of guns. For those who saw the signs of hatred as our cars drove in tonight, I think that it is a good time for those who voted for the ban against gay marriage to sit and reflect and anticipate their great shame and the shame in their grandchildren's eyes if they continue that way of support.
Well, just a little bit of the values of Hollywood on display. Sean Penn accepting an Oscar recently for his portrayal of a famous activist for gay rights. And in that capacity, he kind of spoke to the present day, especially to the ban on gay marriage in California. Shame, he says, shame on you if you voted for the ban. Should those who supported the ban on gay marriage in California be ashamed? And how does this fit within the picture of the values of Hollywood in a broader sense? We're going to be talking about that for the first few minutes of Issues Etc. today in this hour. We're coming to you live this Tuesday afternoon. It's the 24th of February. I'm Todd Wilkin. Jennifer Roback Morse will be our guest. After our conversation with Jen, Dr. Peter Scare will join us. We'll remember, along with the church, the Apostle Matthias. You remember him. Not much is said about him except that he was chosen by the casting of lots under the influence of the Holy Spirit to fill Judas's place. So why is there another apostle afterwards? They got 12. Then Paul comes along as well. We'll answer that question with Dr. Peter Scare. Then Dr. Stephen Hine will be our guest, director of the Concordia Institute for Christian Studies. We're doing a daily series with him on the cross of Christ a little later today. Atonement in the Old Testament, it goes by the name of propitiation, and the word finds its way into the New Testament. We'll talk about that a little later here on the program. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, or email us with your questions and comments right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse is founder of the Ruth Institute, based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's author of the books Smart Sex and Love and Economics. Jennifer, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
Well, you heard what Sean Penn had to say. He says if you voted to ban gay marriage in California, shame on you and on your children. Should those who voted in favor of the ban on gay marriage be ashamed?
I'm not ashamed. I voted for it, I worked for it, and I'm proud of it. I'm proud of the campaign that we ran. We ran a very clean campaign in the sense that our arguments, our advertising, everything about the campaign was directed to the question of what is the institution of marriage all about and how will this redefinition of marriage affect society. That's what we talked about. That's what we campaigned on. There was not one bit of gay bashing or homo baiting or anything like that in the campaign. You can go back and look at those ads, and there's not a word to hint that there's something somehow wrong with gay people or that they're unworthy or anything like that. Not a hint of same-sex couples being second class or any such thing. The whole point was to open up the question of what is marriage, what is it all about, and are we, in fact, going to be changing marriage in a radical way by redefining it? And I think that people like Sean Penn have yet to face up to the fundamental question raised by same-sex marriage, which is you are talking about redefining the basic feature of marriage. Do you have any idea what the impact of that is going to be long term? And do you really think that your grandchildren are going to be pleased with what you are about to impose upon them and future generations? That's the point. As far as I'm concerned, that's the point. I do not think that history is on their side, even though they may get what they want. But what will happen is over time, people will come to see that this is a much bigger deal than anybody gave credit for. The whole framing of the issue as a civil rights issue, Todd, is a way of saying that same-sex marriage will not be very much of a change at all. We're just going to let a few more people participate in an already existing institution. It completely ignores the possibility that changing marriage from the union of a man and a woman to the union of any two persons, that you're going to set something in motion that will, in fact, change the institution of marriage and that will have negative consequences for the stability of marriage, for the way children are raised, for the way we see gender, for a whole series of things. And the proponents of same-sex marriage flatly refuse to even discuss those issues. And that's what's so disappointing about this kind of very, very manipulative emotional appeal that he made there, basically assuming that he's right, everybody else is wrong, and there's nothing here really to talk about. That is so unfortunate and really unworthy of decent political discourse.
The temptation, Jen, is when people hear values of Hollywood is to simply say it's an oxymoron, but I disagree. I think that there is a value system in Hollywood,
yes.
But how out of touch is that value system with that held by the average everyday American?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, it depends on who you think the average everyday American is, Todd. I mean, you're there safely ensconced in the Midwest, and the people are a little more down to earth in St. Louis than they are out in California, shall we say. The other place where you can see differences is in the age distribution. I mean, the older generation, when you're talking to older people, they more or less understand that gender is significant and that the changes we've made to marriage law and family law over the last 30 years have been destructive, and therefore we really shouldn't be fooling around making another big change, you know, without thinking through what we're doing. Whereas younger people tend to get caught up in the idea that this is the new civil rights movement, in the idea that this is the way that they're going to help their friend, their gay friend who they like maybe, you know, or their gay cousin or their gay next-door neighbor, that this is a way of showing solidarity for them. They're not looking down the road to see the kind of impact that this is likely to have on people's lives in the future. And so it's kind of a feel-good campaign for a lot of young people because they're not thinking realistically about what married life is about and the kind of impact it's likely to have, but they're thinking about their friends whom they care about, the what's kind of the cool and in thing to believe and the in thing to believe and do and so forth. So they're those people, if you consider people under the age of 25, the everyday ordinary person under the age of 25, they're probably closer to Sean Penn's views. And that's why we at the Ruth Institute are putting so much effort into addressing the problems that the college students face, you know, into really spending some time talking with young people. What are the issues? Why do they matter? And what can you do about it? I've spent the last 2 weeks at various college campuses around the country, and tomorrow I'm going someplace else, which is why I'm going to Utah tomorrow, which is why I'm talking to you today instead of on Wednesday. But I've talked to a lot of college students, and, you know, a lot of them, it's just like a big shrug, you know, when you say, well, you know, same-sex marriage means that the state will be legally saying mothers and fathers are interchangeable. And a lot of them look at you like that's a big yawn, like that doesn't matter. And then I go, well, look, this means that I think that if you say mothers and fathers are interchangeable, the bottom line, ultimate outcome of that will be to marginalize men from the family even more than they already are. And people look at you like, well, so, you know, what's the big deal? You know, my dad wasn't around. I turned out all right. You know, they don't want to see that continuing to push down this path of deinstitutionalizing marriage is something that's going to continue to bring unhappiness to children.
Andy is listening in Kirkwood, Missouri. Thanks for waiting, Andy.
Well, what difference can subtle change make? I just read an article yesterday in the current issue of The Week magazine. About 10 years ago, the Netherlands enacted a civil union law seeking to accommodate homosexuals. Now, this past year, 92% of those seeking civil unions were heterosexual couples. So a little subtle change can make a big difference.
I saw a report like that too. The one I saw had to do with France, though. But that's quite correct. That the changes that are being put into place for the benefit of same-sex couples often will end up affecting the behavior of people who do not have any same-sex attraction whatsoever. So we're starting with the premise that We've got a group of people here who are in some way debilitated by current law because they're attracted only to people of the same sex. And so they can't participate fully in public life, and so therefore we need to do something to help them. But what we're doing to try to help them is something that's going to be affect the behavior of all kinds of people who certainly can affect their, change their behavior, who certainly do have choices about what to do. And the example that you gave there is a prime case of that.
Okay, with only about 30 seconds, Elaine in Canada emails us, wrong is now right and right is now wrong. I think Hollywood has it backwards regarding gay rights. We hate the sin but love the sinner. So disappointing to hear the promotion of gay rights during the Academy Awards. Only 30 seconds to respond.
Well, I'm glad to hear from somebody from Canada because Canada, of course, is further along in this whole process than we are. And people who broadcast programs like this into Canada have to be careful about what they say because what you think is perfectly okay to say in St. Louis could be construed as hate speech in some parts of Canada. So one of the things that is going on as a part and parcel of the move towards same-sex marriage is a regulation of many other aspects of civil life and civil society. So it's not just the definition of marriage, but many other things that come under the heading of anti-discrimination law and so on, all of those things end up being implicated.
Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse is founder of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. Check out the Ruth Institute at issuesetc.org. Go to the on-demand page, issuesetc.org. Click on demand. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities. And she's authored the books Smart Sex and Love in Economics. Thanks a lot, Jen.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
When we come back, the church is remembering on this day the apostle Matthias. Not Matthew, but Matthias. Matthew's one of the first apostles called. Matthias, not the last, but second to last, if you're counting it the way Luke puts it together. After Judas' death, they need to fill up the number to 12, and they do with Matthias. They do it by casting lots. We'll talk a little bit about that on the other side of the break with Dr. Peter Scare. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. If you're a talk radio junkie like me, you might assume that the programming is free. Commercial advertisers pay for the production costs and staff salaries. Well, that's true for most talk radio shows, but not for Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is listener-supported. We rely on you to pay for the production, salaries, and airtime costs for this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin, asking you to consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or you can donate by check. Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Remember, unlike other talk radio shows, Issues Etc. needs your financial support. We depend upon you for the continuation and expansion of Issues Etc. Thanks for your consideration.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Doing what's best for children.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
Over the last few decades, thousands of American families have participated in foreign adoptions. Sadly, the sort of U.S.-born child most likely to be adopted a generation ago is today more likely to be aborted. Thomas Atwood of the National Council for Adoption highlights efforts to present adoption as a positive option to birth mothers. He said, "We view birth mothers who place children for adoption as loving, responsible parents who made a decision in the best interest of the child. The definition of a good parent is someone who does what's best for her child."
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List, inviting you to join us in our battle for life. For more, go online to sba-list.org.